The Bible reading this morning is Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Well, it's good to see everyone out this morning, and good to see have visitors with us. We appreciate you taking the time to look us up and find us and visit with us. Hope you all do not get too sick and tired of me today. Brother Allen is in Waynesville preaching for them today, so I have really all the speaking today instead of having two different speakers. In this early session, when it's been my turn to speak, we have been talking about the Ten Commandments, and this morning we come to the fifth commandment that Brother Jim read for us this morning, honor your father and your mother. This is a command that, of course, is incorporated very much in the gospel. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. He also says in the Colossian letter, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. So we understand that the child-to-parent responsibility is something that was important to God in all generations. So what we want to do this morning is follow the pattern we have really been following in this study, and that is to look at the meaning of the commandment within the text in Exodus where the Ten Commandments are originally given, and the application that was made of those commandments in the law of Moses, and then come to our day, our modern time as Christians in the 21st century, and make observations as to how that might be pertinent to us as well. So the first thing we want to do is to look at this command and the promise. Paul called it the first command with a promise. So we want to look at both the command and the promise. Now the command is quite simple, honor your father and mother. But when we look at Paul's language in the New Testament, he chooses to use the word obey. And he uses this as an exhortation for children to obey their parents. That is based upon the fifth commandment is without doubt, because he quotes from Exodus and the fifth commandment. And the Greek word that Paul used there that is translated in our English Bibles by the word obey is actually a form of the word that means hear. And so what he is basically saying is children need to learn to listen to the instruction of their parents. So Paul makes an appropriate application of this fifth commandment. And when we look at the fifth commandment as expressed in our text, we can understand that it required much more than simple compliance with the instruction of parents. Often that's the way we use the word obey today, is to comply. But it meant much more than that. It meant more than simply to obey. The Hebrew word is the Hebrew word kabed. According to the theological word book of the Old Testament, it says the basic meaning of this word is to be heavy or to be weighty. And it's a meaning which is only rarely used literally. That is, even though it means heavy, the Old Testament very seldom uses it to describe a heavy object. It's the figurative use of it is much more common. So the idea is of a weighty person in society, someone who is honorable, impressive, worthy of respect. And so according the theological word book, it says this latter usage is prevalent in more than half of the occurrences of this word in the Old Testament. It goes on to say, likewise, persons in position of responsibility and authority were deserving of honor. It is significant to remind oneself that giving honor or glory is to say that someone is deserving of respect, attention, and obedience. So as we look at this, then we see that honor for parents involved more than simple obedience. Obedience was a part of it, but there was more to it. It was to show the respect and the deference that belongs to someone that you recognize is in a position above your position in life, having honor for the relationship. Now, the promise in the Ten Commandments is that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So within the context of the Ten Commandments themselves, in Exodus chapter 20, what Moses is saying is that this promise was related, as were all of these commands, to Israel's ultimate possession of the land to which God was taking them. And so he said, you need to learn this command so that once you get to the land, God will let you stay there. Now, Paul quotes this commandment, and he actually quotes from Deuteronomy 5:16, and he modifies it and changes from the land which the Lord your God gives you, because by the time Paul's writing in the first century, they have already been taken from the land, been taken into captivity, been allowed to come back, but are under the dominion of the Roman Empire. They are not free people anymore. And he changes it from that if you obey this command, you will be able to stay in the land that God's given you, because that was done, that was passed. They'd already failed, the children of Israel had. And he changes that to simply say, that you will live long upon the earth. Your life will be better. And so for Christians, we understand what Paul's saying is this command is still in effect. This responsibility is still there. And it makes you what you ought to be as you live here on this earth. And it's more than just a principle in the law of Moses. It is a divine principle that is applicable to all men in all times. So our first conclusion then is that the fifth commandment is as essential in the life of Christians today as it was in the lives of the children of Israel when it was originally given. But the second thing we want to do is look at the law and this commandment. In other words, how was this treated in Old Testament times? And so what we see is that there are other statements of this, and it may surprise you that there are just not that many other statements, as is the case with many of the Ten Commandments. They are so basic and they are so fundamental. They affect many other aspects of the lives, but as far as the law saying them over and over again, that's really just not so. They're found in Exodus 20. They're found in Deuteronomy, where the law is the giving of the Ten Commandments is repeated. And then there's a couple references to them in what we consider to be the law of Moses, the ordinances. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, Moses says, every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And again in Deuteronomy 27, in the great passage of the blessings and the cursings, as they are preparing to enter the land of Canaan, and Moses gives them, if you do these things, you'll keep the land. If you do these things, God will punish you. In Deuteronomy 27 and verse 16, Moses says, cursed is he who dishonors his father and mother, and all the people shall say, amen. We agree. We shall give this honor and reverence to our parents. Now, the Old Testament set a penalty for the violation of this command. And that penalty was very severe. Violation of the command was punishable by death. Exodus 21 and verse 17. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And again in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9, if there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him. And so this was not a trifling thing. And I think we need to understand from a common sense perspective, this is not talking about a young child growing up the way 6 and 7 and 10 year old and even 12 year old children sometimes disobey their parents. This is a rejection of the place of the parent and a refusal to give them the deference and the respect that they should. It is the rebellion of a more adult child. And if that child did that, it was punishable by death. Now, in the Proverbs, Solomon gives a more general warning. Because from a practical standpoint, we know that it probably took extreme cases for them to actually put a child to death in violation of this command. So Solomon says it this way in Proverbs 20 and verse 20. He who curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in a time of darkness. So what Solomon basically says is you're not going to get away with it. God will require of you a penalty for a refusal to honor and show respect to your parents. And basically, that's all the law of Moses says about it. So we come to the New Testament, and we come to Jesus' application of the command. And it's interesting that in the teaching of Jesus, he doesn't directly deal with the question of obedience. He deals with honor and the way the Jews, particularly the Pharisees, tried to manipulate the law to dismiss their responsibility to obey this command. And the classic example of that is in Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. And so Jesus says there, it says, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God. He's speaking to the Pharisees. In order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban. And that's an Aramaic word. But Mark defines it. He says, that is to say, given to God. You no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother. Thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. So as we look at this exchange between Jesus and the Pharisees concerning this fifth commandment, there's a couple of things we can note. First of all, Jesus is addressing the way they have treated this commandment. And as Jesus quotes here in verse 10, he actually combines from the Septuagint, from the Greek version of the Old Testament, four different verses, Exodus 20, 12, Deuteronomy 5, 16, Exodus 21, 17, and Leviticus 29. And so he puts together almost everything the law says about honoring the father and mother. But if you notice, as I mentioned, he's not referring to a case of disobedience or physical rebellion against the authority of the parent. He's talking about how they have contorted the scripture to avoid the responsibility imposed by the command. So Jesus sees in this fifth command a clear responsibility of children to their parents. And he is indicting the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the Jews for manipulating and explaining the command in such a way that they excused themselves of that clear biblical responsibility. And so how did that happen? Well, the rabbis, beginning from the Babylonian captivity, and remember, the captivity came because Israel had not kept their vows of faithfulness to God and had become idolaters, and God had sent the prophets to them. When they didn't repent, they were sent into captivity. The rabbis taught that it was the most important thing that a person could do was, when they made a vow to God, was to keep that vow. The vow could not be broken. And by the way, the law of Moses definitely says that. It says you keep the vows you make to God. Now, Jesus rebukes them, not because they had made vows, because the Old Testament recognized vows and the importance of keeping the vows. But he rebuked them because they used the vows to avoid caring for their parents. This is financial care, whether it's giving them a place to live, providing them food and nurture in their old age, and that time of life that changes from where the parent is taking care of the child to where the child needs to take care of the parent. And so he says, what you do is you say, well, I know I need to help my parents, but I have already vowed this money to God. And the rabbis say, you can't break a vow. So that money that I could have helped my parents with has already been committed to the temple, to God, some way to God. And so the rabbi said, that's the more important vow. So if you've done that, you don't have to take care of your parent, because you have to honor the greater vow. But the point of it is they had not pledged all their financial prosperity to the Lord. They had not taken an abject vow of poverty. That is, they hadn't just given everything to God and they had nothing. They were still living the way they wanted to live. They had their houses. They had their riches. And what they said was, well, the part that I had that I could have helped my parents with, I have already given that to God. And the rabbis and the Pharisees said, you've discharged your responsibility. God comes first. So they could continue to use the rest of their wealth for their own purposes. And in their mind, they have not violated the fifth commandment. But Jesus identifies that in this passage for what it really is. It's a human manipulation of the law to avoid the true meaning of the commandment. Basically, Jesus says, God is not going to let you get by with that. And I want to suggest to you that that principle is really applied in the New Testament to Christians as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul tells Timothy, as he's giving instruction for benevolent care to widows and those in need at the church at Ephesus, he says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, and he's worse than an unbeliever. Christians should avoid the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and not attempt to dismiss our primary responsibility for the care of our aged parents to someone else, including the church. And we are given instructions about helping certain widows. But interestingly enough, Paul says if they've got family, the family needs to take care of them. And so, as Christians, we need to recognize this responsibility. And I think I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. I can't think of anybody in this room who is not giving care and attention to their parents. And we've had examples of that throughout the number of years that I have been here. But I think that's the application. And so this command is very much our responsibility today. It enjoins obedience, but it also enjoins respect of one's parents as an obligation under God. So we are to honor, and that includes meeting the needs of our parents at the time when they become dependent upon their children. So we will move on. I believe Alan has the early talk next week, so I'll move on to the sixth command in a couple of weeks. I believe, Gary, do you have the prayer? Brother Gary will lead us in prayer, and then we will be dismissed and have Bible class.